to have Pastor Jeff and Jackie Moles with us, and Gabe, and to minister to us in word and in song, and to share their hearts with us. And they were truly blessed to be here, and sent back and said how much they enjoyed just being with everybody and the fellowship and being together. So and then we had an awesome time at our Wild Beast Feast last Sunday night, and good food, good fellowship, good prizes, good weather. All of it was good. So we enjoyed that. And good times. It's good to be together, and good to have people from our community join us in fellowship. That's the point of fellowship, to have some time to spend together, to let people know where we are, to meet people in the community, and to be an outreach. This morning I want to, just a couple things that was on my heart. Actually, I had kind of one of those days where I had two separate directions that I could go, and they're probably going to all end up in one pot before we're done, so, which is not unusual at all for me, you know, but Dan asked me this morning when he got here, said, what's the name of your sermon? I said, I don't know, I'm still working on it. I haven't, like, nailed it into which one I'm going to go to, but I am going to call it this morning, Stop the Press, and that's going to be the title of my sermon this morning, all right? So, Stop the Press, that was a statement that they used to make when there was some kind of big news was breaking, right? The big news was breaking. You had to stop the press. Don't print the newspaper yet till we can get the, you know, that article on the front page, or get, you know, get that printed out there, get the news out there. So I'm thankful that there's some great news. There's some good news. Good news on the horizon. Good news to report. I mean, the gospel is the good news. So if it's not telling you good news, there's a chance, there might be a chance it's not the gospel. But the gospel is the good news. It's the message of Jesus Christ, the finished work, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus that we live in and walk in. And in him we live and move and have our very being in Christ. That's good news. Amen. We're not under the old covenant law as the days of Moses, but how many know we're under the covenant of grace, and we're under the finished work of the cross. We're under the blood, the cross of Calvary. You did not have to bring a lamb or a goat or a bullock or pigeons or turtle doves. You didn't have to bring a sacrifice with you to church today. We didn't have to offer them on the altar. We didn't have to, go through those rituals. I, for one, am very thankful for that. Amen. So that Jesus became our sacrifice. He became the perfect lamb of sacrifice, that no more would an animal have to be sacrificed in our stead. But he who knew no sin became sin that I could become the righteousness of God. Isaiah tells us he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and yet he opened not his voice. And so because of his blood, because of the blood of Jesus, we are here today. We are living in eternity. We have eternal life in us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit that lives and moves in us. Jesus said, I and my Father are going to come and take up our abode in you. So we have to quit looking for an external power to come in, but to understand we have an internal source. Now, I believe Jesus is in me, and I believe he's everywhere. People say, well, is he in the heavens? Is he in the earth? Or is he in me? Where is he at? The answer to that is yes. The answer to that is yes. He's in you. He's around you. He's among you. He's in the heavens. He's in the earth. I believe God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. And so the scripture tells us that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And so what we have thought many times is, when I'm bad, Jesus leaves me, but when I'm good, he stays by me. But can I just tell you, he's with you no matter what. If you make choices you should not make, he's still there. If you go places you probably shouldn't go, he's still there. And when you're good, he's still there. Because he is an ever-present God. He is a faithful God. He's not embarrassed by you. He's not mad at you. And he does not forsake you, whether in the good or the bad. And we sometimes are guilty of thinking, you know, that Jesus operates like people do. That if I act right, people will stay around or they'll stay with me. But when I don't act right, they go. But I'm thankful that he's ever present with me. That he loves me. He is faithful to me even when I'm not faithful. He's with me even when I'm not conscious of the fact that he's with me. The power of the Holy Ghost is in me even when I forget that. You ever been in situations you think, oh, man, I should have prayed. Or I should, you know, I maybe should have activated the Holy Ghost. Or I maybe should have acted differently. And sometimes we forget because we're responsive people most of the time. But I'm thankful that the scripture says that even when we don't know what to pray, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, can make intercessions for us. You ever been at a loss for what to pray, how to pray, or want to pray your will? My will be done. I prayed many a prayers. It was my will be done, not thy will be done, but my will be done. Only to find out the Lord had it under control. And the Lord knows what he's doing. And there's sometimes we have to go back and thank God for unanswered prayers. Because he sees the end from the beginning. But Lynn shared a little bit on this scripture when he was here. And I want to kind of pick up a little bit where he was at. And then I want to go on from there. But let me go to 2 Corinthians 4:8-18 first. Let me go ahead and do that one first. 2 Corinthians, do we have that? Yep. It says, we are hard-pressed or pressed on every side. Now remember that I said the name of my title, the title of my sermon this morning is Stop the Press. The scripture here says we are pressed on every side or hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary or temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The scripture says we are pressed on every side. We are persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. And the apostle here is not really just talking about, oh, we're having a bad day or we've got some sickness in our body. He really is talking about the persecution that they are under for preaching the message of grace, for preaching the message of Jesus Christ, the afflictions that came with preaching the gospel that he preached. But how many know, even he says, we have persecutions, we have afflictions, we deal with things in our body, we have despair. We're pressed in sometime on every side. You know, and I was thinking, if you think about press, if you press, it's like pressure that's pushing you down, right? When we're talking about being pressed on every side, you ever feel like, not so much physically, but sometimes physically, ever feel like you're being pressed in on every side, emotionally, physically, spiritually, where we feel like everything that we are, or everything that we believe is being challenged? Sometimes you just have those days, don't you? Where sometimes your faith gets a little bit shaken, or sometimes your physical body gets shaken, or sometimes emotionally you're not quite where you need to be, but we are pressed down on every side. But he goes on to say, but this light affliction is but for a moment, because we see the glory of his grace, and we know that our strength does not come from our own abilities, but our strength comes from him. For when I am weak, he is strong. When I'm strong, he's still strong. But when I'm weak, he's strong in me. He's strong for me. How many know sometimes you just need somebody to be strong on your behalf? And sometimes you need somebody else to be the strong one. Sometimes you always have to find yourself in the position of being the strong one. But every now and then you get pressed on every side and you don't feel that strength in you. You sometimes resort more to our weaknesses and we focus on our weaknesses. He said, but hey, I want you to know when you're weak, then I'm strong. And he said, even though as we look thought at those things which are seen, but the things that are not seen, because the things that are seen are temporary. Somebody say temporary. And so we need to look at those things which are not seen, those things which are in the heavenlies. How many know focus is everything? Perspective is everything. What we allow our mind to dwell on, what we allow ourselves to look at, what we allow ourselves to focus on is what we will put our energy into. Amen? And if you're not careful, whatever you're focused on will sap the energy out of you. It'll sap the life out of you sometimes. And so that's when we have to get to the point where we're speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we have to take our focus on what we see in the natural and declare what the word says even when we don't see it. There's sometimes when you got to confess it over yourself. There's sometimes when you got to speak to yourself. Every now and then you got to give yourself a good talking to. It's all right to talk to yourself. The scripture says it's all right. Speaking to yourself. Just do it when nobody else is listening, right? Yeah. You just go down the road to talking and they'll just think you're singing to the radio or something. But sometimes you got to give yourself a good talking to. And we've talked about this before. You know that the Psalm 77, Psalm of Asaph, he said, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Because the confession of our mouth and what we allow to overwhelm us and what we allow to focus on causes our spirit to be overwhelmed. And when our spirit gets overwhelmed, it's hard to focus, to redirect, and it's hard to bring yourself up out of that place sometimes. That's why the body is so important. The scripture says, let the weak say, I am strong. And sometimes we have to let those who are strong about us speak to our weakness and strengthen our hands. How many know the scripture says many times, and they strengthened their hands in the Lord, or they lifted up their hands, or they encouraged themselves in the Lord. They began to redirect how they were thinking. They became a thermostat and not a thermometer. A thermostat can only tell you the temperature in the room, but I'm thankful for some thermometers around me, or some thermostats around me. I said that backwards. A thermometer can only tell you the temperature in the room, but I'm thankful for some thermostats that have the power to crank it up a little bit and change atmospheres. When we got here this morning, it was cold. The lights weren't on, and the heat was not on. But the power of a thermostat back there in just a little bit of time to change the atmosphere in the room. Amen? And so I believe that we have the power to change the atmosphere in the room. But what is it that presses us down? What is it that is so pressing in our life that it takes our focus off of him and puts our focus on us or on our despair or in our trials. Now, there are lots of things. And I'm sure I'll just start out by saying, number one, first in the room, there are times when I get distraught or get overwhelmed by circumstances because I forget and who my help comes from. Amen. I told you just a couple weeks ago I was concerned about some things, and I was praying. I said, Lord, just give me peace and bring peace to this situation. And the Lord reminded me, he said, Lisa, the Prince of Peace dwells in you. And you know, every now and then he makes me live what I preach. Because I just preached that on Sunday, and then that week I'm dealing with it, and I'm praying for peace. And he reminded me in my spirit, he said, Lisa, the Prince of Peace lives in you. And I said, yes, sir, it does. I thank you that the Prince of Peace is in charge right now. I thank you that I have peace. And I changed from saying, Lord, give me peace, to saying, Lord, I thank you that the Prince of Peace resides in my vessel. I thank you that the Prince of Peace is in charge here, and that I can trust in you, and I can have peace in knowing, Father, that you hear me when I pray, and that I can believe and trust in you. And so he reminds us sometimes that we maybe get pressed down, but we're not forsaken. We're not left out. We're not destroyed. And that our hope is in the Lord. And so the scripture that Lynn read out of Mark chapter 2, 1 through 12, I want to go there for a minute this morning. And I love this portion of scripture. It's, you know, we've preached it a lot of different ways. I love what he said before when he said, sometimes you got to tear some tiles off the roof. You got to tear off some barriers. You got to tear off some things that are keeping you from getting to Jesus. And in Matthew 2, 1 through 12, it says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. The other sermon I was going to preach this morning was called Make Some Noise. So I told you, but I'll end up in the same pot, right? Let me know, sometimes you got to make some noise. What I love about this, it said it was noised abroad that Jesus was in Capernaum, or that Jesus was in the house. Word of mouth let people know that the healer was in town. The conversation of the people alerted their neighbors to know that Jesus was available, that Jesus was near, that the healer was in the house, that Jesus had come to Capernaum. I believe it's about time for the church to make some noise. It's about time for us to raise our voice and say, thank God for the healing that's taken place in my body. Thank God for the victories that we have seen. Thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit that's moving amongst us. And begin to talk about the goodness of God. To noise abroad some testimonies of victory. To make some noise. To let people know that Jesus is in the house. To let people know that Jesus is near. To let people know that Jesus is present. To let people know that Jesus is the healer. How many are thankful for healing today? Yes. Thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you just got to make some noise. It was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive him. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. Everybody say press. Another word for press is the crowd. They were pressed on every side. They were crowded out from getting to Jesus. They uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, and they so reasoned with themselves, he said unto them, why do you reason these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that they may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Luke says, we have seen strange things today. I love that. So here we have the scripture where Jesus is in town. He is in Capernaum. And it gets noised abroad that he's in the house, that the miracle worker is there, the healer is there. And it said that there was a man who had palsy. He was unable to function on his own. He was weak. He could not walk. He could not get there on his own. He was on a stretcher. And the scripture said they wanted to get him to Jesus, but there was too much of the press in the way. The crowd was too big. They were pressed out and could not get in. And the scripture says when they saw the crowd, when they saw the press, they diverted their steps and they started to think outside of the box. They changed their plan and they went up on the roof and they start tearing off some shingles. Now, Lynn shared last Sunday about, there's sometimes we got to tear off some shingles. We tear off that shingle of unbelief. We tear off that shingle of unworthiness. We tear off that shingle of it's impossible. We tear off the shingle that says we can't get through the crowd, and we start tearing off some shingles until we say, you know what? That shingle's not going to stand in my way. That shingle's not going to stop me from getting to Jesus. That shingle is not going to be what separates me from him. And not only was the, and the, what I love about this is not the man who's sick who's doing it, but he's got four friends. Everybody say four. Now, I've said this many times, you don't need a lot of friends, but you need four. You need four that think like these four did. Not every one of your friends is going to carry you where you need to go. Not every one of your kids, your friends, is going to have your best interest in mind. Not everybody you call friend is going to see things the way you see them. Not everybody you depend on has the ability to carry you to Jesus. So if they don't, you need to find four. And you need to surround yourself with four. Four just being a number, but surround yourself with somebody said, if you can't get there on your own, I'm willing to do whatever I got to do to get you there. And you know, sometimes that person that we need to carry, it might be your spouse. It might be your child. It might be somebody you love. It might just be a friend. It might be an enemy. But I guarantee you, if you get them on the stretcher and you get them to Jesus, you don't have to fix them. You don't have to have all the right answers. You don't have to tell them the these and the thous and quote all the scriptures. Just get them to the presence of Jesus, because there's something about being in the presence of Jesus that changes things. But what I love about this is they did not stop because of the press. They did not stop because of the crowd. There are so many things in our lives sometimes that want to press against us, that want to separate us from the love of Jesus, that want to keep us from pushing in just to get a hold of him, that could become barriers between us. Sometimes it's our unbelief that presses us back or crowds out what Jesus wants to do. But I love it. It said they took him up to the roof and they tore off the roof. You need four roof rippers in your life. Four good roofers. And what I love is it doesn't say they even put the roof back on. They just knew how to take it off. And the scripture says they let him down into the house. And when Jesus saw their faith, I need some people of faith around me. I need some people of faith around me that when I am weak, you can speak to me and say, stir up the Holy Ghost in you. Our God is bigger, our God is greater, that can speak into our lives and stir up faith when my faith is weak. Let the weak say, I am strong. And so when they saw their faith, see, sometimes when you're sick, when you're down, it's hard to pray for yourself. Amen? Sometimes it's hard to pray for yourself. But man, if you can hook up to somebody that's got some faith that can stir you up, that can stir up that Holy Ghost in you. It says, when he saw their faith, he says to the man, sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee. And he's healed. And the scribe said, man, I don't think that's the way that's supposed to go. Who is this man that he can speak blasphemous words, that can say that he has the power to forgive sins? But the man sick of the palsy, I dare say, probably never even heard what he said. See, here's how I feel about it. You can say, do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around if it works. I don't really care what Jesus said. It's what it activated and what it caused to happen. And we get so hung up sometimes on formulas and the way we think things should happen that we think, well, that must not be God, because I've never seen God move like that. Well, I'm just going to tell you, get ready to see God move in ways you've never seen God move before. And when God moves in crazy ways, I love it. I love it when God says crazy things. So if he says do the hokey pokey and somebody gets up out of a wheelchair, I'm all about what Jesus is saying. Because what happens sometimes is our sin consciousness makes us think, this must be God's judgment on my life. This must be God processing me. I'm probably not worthy enough to receive a healing. I'm probably not righteous enough, and God probably won't heal me because I'm not worthy to be righteous. Well, how many know that Jesus removed all doubt when he said to the man, thy sins be forgiven thee? And he said, if you need me to go further, rise, take up your bed and walk. See, I believe that Jesus tells him to take up the bed, because if we don't get up from where we are and take up the thing that's kept us constrained and move it out of there, we're tempted to go back to it. See, the impotent man at the pool got in trouble because he carried his bedroll on the Sabbath. Instead of revival breaking out and people saying, oh my God, this man has been in this way for 18 years and now he has the ability to carry his bedroll, we're going to fight on what day of the week it is, when the God of heavens, who made Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm going to tell you, he knew what day it was. But I want to tell you, whatever day Jesus sets you free, it's the Sabbath day, because it's your day of rest and you have entered into his victory and his rest. So if you want to heal me on the Sabbath, I'll take it on the Sabbath. If you want to do it on a Tuesday, I'll take it on the Tuesday. Because I don't care how he does it, but I do care that he does it. And I'm going to quit letting formalities and hang-ups and certain ways that if a certain prophet don't lay my hands on me, I can't be healed. Or if I don't come up and get anointed with oil, I can't be healed. Or if I only pray for myself, I can't be healed. I want you to know the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And you have the power to raise the dead, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind. And let me tell you, the dead is not just those who are in the casket, but those who are walking around with no purpose, no life, and nothing in them to make today or tomorrow important. You have the power to raise them from the dead and to speak life into them. Hallelujah. So you can get caught up in the press, and you can get up in the caught up in the crowd, and you can make all the excuses of why you can't touch Jesus. Or you can go up on the roof and find another way. See, I wonder how many times that we look at a situation and say, I just don't see. a miracle in this. I just don't see how this can happen. And I think sometimes we give up. Excuse me, sometimes maybe we don't press and we don't persevere and we don't persist and push our way in. Hallelujah. And you've heard me preach the scripture before we're going to go to Mark chapter 5, verse 25. What is it that presses us or that creates barriers between us and God? Most of the time, it's our stinking thinking. It's our mentality. It's our mindsets that makes a mindset and says, oh. And you know what? Those mindsets sometimes are really faith robbers. They'll steal your faith. They'll steal your strength. They'll zap your joy. They'll rob you of hope. And there was a woman who had had a flow of blood for 12 years. Another translation says she was hemorrhaging. She was bleeding to death. She was hemorrhaging from the inside. So as probably if you looked at her, you would not know that she had had this condition for as long as she had, because her bleeding was concealed. She was hemorrhaging. She was bleeding from the inside out. Who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus. Somebody say, make some noise. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng, in the crowd, another translation says, in the press, and touched his garment. For she kept saying, if I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. How many know she was in distress? And Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples kept saying to him, you see the crowd pressing hard around you from all sides, and you ask, who touched me? Still, he kept looking around to see her who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go in or into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. The scripture says that she had a hemorrhage. She was bleeding from the inside out. It was an internal disorder. How many know sometimes the hardest struggle we have is the internal bleeding? The inside bleeding, the hemorrhage, the inside disorders that robbed her of her peace. Because you recognize when Jesus healed her, he didn't just heal her, he said, go in peace. More and more I see people who struggle with internal hurts, internal bleeding, internal hemorrhaging, bleeding from the inside out of things that are gut-wrenching, things they've held inside, things they're ashamed of, things they feel guilty for, things that are like fear and doubt and unbelief and things like that that cause us to bleed from the inside out. But the scripture said, but today, after 12 years, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be whole. And you know this story. Under the law of Moses, she is not legally allowed to touch another man. She can't sit where they've sat. She can't lay where they've laid, and she cannot touch them by virtue of the fact that under the old covenant, if you had an issue of blood from your body, it made you unclean, and therefore you could not touch another priest, especially the high priest. She said, but if I could just sneak in from behind, if for one time in my life I could part the crowd, if for one day I could press through everything, if I could press through the despair, if I could press through the grief, if I could press through my lack of faith, if I could press through my issues in my house, if I could press through everything that's bothering to me today, and if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I could be made whole. And today's my day. Today is my day to stop the press. Today is my day to put a stop sign up to despair. Today's my day to put a stop sign up for fear, insecurities, inabilities, for doubt. Today's my day to say to shame, stop right there. Stop the press. Stop pressing in on me. Stop haunting me with my yesterdays and let my focus be on my tomorrows, because today is my day. Today is my day to stop the press, stop the stress, stop the unforgiveness, stop the bitterness, stop the grief, stop everything that keeps me from feeling unclean, unworthy, unlawful, and unable to touch Jesus. Because I know if I can just touch Jesus, I know that my tomorrows will be different. I know I can be made every whit whole. And she does it. She does it like a sprinter in a 50-yard dash. She reaches in, she parts the crowd, she works her way in until she can just barely within her grasp see the fringe of the garment of the one whose name had been noised abroad. And she reaches in, she casts caution to the wind, and she grabs a hold of the hem of a garment, and electricity charges through his body and through her body, and she feels at that moment that the hemorrhaging, the internal bleeding and pain is stopped, and she is made whole. But not only did she feel that power, not only did she feel that virtue, Jesus felt something. Man, if we ever so connect with Jesus that it just works like, you know how electricity works? It just keeps going back and forth. It'll just keep going back and forth. He said, I felt something when she touched me. See, we sometimes, I think, do a little, now I lay me down to sleep and God is great and God is good. And sometimes I think we need to press in and say, you know what? I'm going to fall flat on my face. I'm going to reach out to Jesus, and I'm going to throw caution to the wind, and I'm just going to somehow connect with him that something from him flows through me, because the virtue of the power of his blood is way more powerful than the virtue or the power of your bleeding. And he has the power to cauterize and to stop that inward pain and that inward bleeding. But our greatest fear comes when they stop and they part the crowd. Jesus said, whoa, wait a minute. This is a moment. We gotta linger a moment here. I felt something. I felt something discharged from my body. And she, crouching in fear, falls down, because now her greatest fear is, I'm going to be exposed, and they could stone me for touching the man of God and making him unclean. I just want to clear the air with you this morning. There is nothing you have ever done in your flesh. There is nothing you ever done in the sins of Adam. There is nothing, nothing, nothing that you have ever done that you're touching him is going to make him unclean. But I tell you, if you ever reach out and grab a hold of him, there's a supernatural power that can discharge that takes away your uncleanness. And she was afraid she was exposed before everybody. And the disciples said, "What? Who touched you?" Everybody in this town, this crowd is pressing through. And those disciples were like linebackers on a Super Bowl game, blocking the quarterback, holding them back so that they don't mob him before he gets where he's going. People are desperate to see Jesus. And you got the quarterback here, and you got the linebackers blocking, trying to get him where he's going. And he's blocking. They're holding back the crowd on every place they can so as not to disturb Jesus. And he stops and said, "Peter, did you see somebody touch me? John, somebody touched me. Did you see it?" I said, "Say what, Lord?" "The whole crowd is trying to touch you." Can I just tell you this morning, there's a whole crowd of people that just want to touch Jesus. They don't want to know what the Apostles' Creed is. They don't know if they can quote all 66 books of the Bible. They can't quote the Lord's Prayer. They don't know how to get to Jesus. And sometimes we hold them at bay, thinking we're doing God a favor when we just step out of the way and just let him go for it. Go for it, because if you ever touch Jesus, faith will make you whole. And I dare say this morning, the greatest healing we need is not always external. I've had both of my legs broken. I had a broke and sprained at the same time. Live upstairs in my house. All steps everywhere. Two small babies, and Dan was flying out for Arizona the next day. On a mission trip. I've had broken bones. I've had surgeries. I've had babies. Labor. But I will tell you, sometimes the greatest pain, it's not the external pain. Sometimes you know how to treat it. You also know there's an end. I knew in about 6-8 weeks when I got that cast off, that leg was pretty much going to be back to normal. Sometimes the greatest pain is the internal bleeding that we have. But oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. We just sang it this morning. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. And so if we ever can just stop the press, when that fear comes to you, just put up the hand. You know how the kids used to do that? Talk to the hand, because the face don't care. Who was them girls that sang "Stop in the Name of Love"? The Supremes. Yeah, Diana Ross and the Supremes. "Stop in the Name of Love. The love of the Father has covered me, and you have to stop right there. You have no power, no authority, no voice in my life, and everything that was in my past, it was buried with him in baptism. I do not have to yield to those things. So stop right there. Stop in the name of love. Stop the press." Sometimes you just got to do it. You just got to say, "Stop the press." Hallelujah. Bring up Romans 8 and 38, and I'm closing with this. I was to do this demonstration this morning for you, and I thought about it, but I didn't want to embarrass anybody, but if Andy was to stand over here as Jesus, and Tama was to stand here as that woman, and in between them were all those things that I put on that list: shame, unbelief, grief, despair, poverty, whatever it is, it would cause a big gap between the two. Now, here's the thing. Jesus will never leave you. But sometimes we're reaching over stuff to get to him. When he just wants us to just bust through the crowd and come on up, because Hebrews tells us that we have a high priest who can be touched. He is a touchable high priest this morning. You need to know that he's a touchable high priest this morning, and you can touch him and be made every whit whole. You can press in. You can cast all those things aside. Cast all those cares on him, because he cares for you. Only we can allow that gap to get wide, because the whole time Jesus is just standing there. That altar's calling. Come to me, all you who are weak and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Wow. What a powerful thing rest is. Do you know that rest is one of the greatest healers that there is? When you are sleeping, when you are at rest, your body is healing itself. If we ever come to the place where we can rest in him, then we'll find that our body will heal physically, spiritually, emotionally, mind, soul, body, and spirit. Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded, I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to, what? Separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing you have done in Adam or in your flesh that is more powerful than what God did on the cross. You need to know that. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing, there's a song I was listening to yesterday. There's nothing too dirty that he can't make worthy. He washed me and made me clean. That's powerful. That's powerful. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Is Beth placed something, a worship? Hallelujah. The Lord told me to say this morning to stop the press. Stop in the name of love. Hallelujah. And so I just want you to take some time this morning as she sings a worship song. Maybe it's you. Maybe the Lord's ministered something to you this morning through that. Maybe there was some things that the Lord clicked to you that you said, you know, Lord, I'm just going to stop those voices. I'm going to silence those voices. I'm going to stop the press. I'm going to stop everything that just keeps pressing in on me. Because as it presses in on me, it keeps me from pressing in on you. Because the more I press in on you, the more I'm healed, the more I'm whole, the more I'm clean. Hallelujah. So if you need special prayer about that this morning, I'd be glad to pray with you, anoint you. You can come up front. We'll be glad to pray over you. If you want to receive it in your seat, you can do that. Hallelujah. But sometimes you got to bust your way up this aisle. You just got to press on through. Press on being embarrassed. Press on being seen. And say, you know what? My healing's way more important than what the crowd thinks. My healing is more important than what the crowd thinks. So she's going to sing this morning, and I just want you to receive healing in your body today. No more hemorrhaging, no more bleeding from the inside out. Supernatural healing to sweep over this house in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, every bit of anger, every bit of despair. Hallelujah. discouragement, oppression, depression, anxiety. We stop. We say to the press, we stop. We silence those things in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah.